You are now listening to Fixed Ops Chops, a podcast designed by top industry experts to provide you the cutting-edge information you need for a lucrative fixed operations department. Stay up to date on the hottest profit-strengthening products, services, and technologies. And now your host, CEO of Traction, automotive industry leader, and fixed operations expert, Dave Boyle.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Fix Ops Chops here live from the floor at the NADA Convention 2023 in my hometown, Dallas, Texas. If you've been following along on Instagram and other social media platforms, we've been doing some short versions of the podcast here, talking to some of the industry movers and shakers and some people here visiting the show. I'm Dave Boyle with Traction, and I'm honored to have probably the hottest guy in our industry right now. I got to tell you, man. And this is going to be fun because this guy not only is a client, he's not only a genius in this industry, but I'm proud to call him a friend. We've got to know each other. And I'm also a customer of his. I actually bought a car from him recently, too. So it's all good. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ed Bozarth, Ed Roberts, from Bozarth Ford Lincoln Mercury. I wasn't kidding, man. You are a rock star right now. You're speaking at this convention, aren't you?
I spoke this morning. Had standing room only in two rooms.
Congratulations.
So it worked out well. And hopefully some people can take some of that stuff back and do something for their stores. Because
did you envision this about 4 or 5 years ago when you were that you'd be? I mean, listen, you run a great shop down there. You always have. But the last couple of years is a bit of a whirlwind for you, right? It's been good.
Well, thankfully, we're a forward-thinking dealer, and thankfully, other people in the industry has realized that if we put more into our people, we get more out. So I'm glad that it's being embraced going forward, and people want to hear the message. And everything that we do is duplicatable.
Right.
And it's like what you do. I mean, you offer us tools that we can put out there, and it doesn't just fit one place. It can work wherever, but it needs the process to go with it.
Well, I'm happy for you, brother. It's been fun to watch you take off, because you certainly have a great message. And I think you've got an interesting perspective on this, because you came up through the service ranks, you know, and now you're the COO, right? So you're running both sides of the business down there, but you are a guy that graduated up through the service side, not the traditional model, right? And I've been asking this question of most of the people that I've interviewed here at the show, and that's, you know, for about a decade now, I've been talking about this mindset shift that needs to take place in our industry, that you know, and it's the silo of sales and service. You know, we still refer to the service department as being out back, you know, back of the house. And I've been trying to get people to think about the fact that there needs to be a swap there. And I think there's potentially some things that are going to happen in the next decade. They're going to make that even more prominent, right? If distribution models change, if the Tesla model, OEM direct models start to take hold, the dealership of the past is going to look differently, I think. But the one thing that's not going to look differently is their service departments, right? I mean, they're the backbone, not the back end of the business, is what I like to say. And I'd like to get your take on that, because I want to understand, you do it at your shop, obviously. I mean, it's all about your service, right? First time I went and visited your shop, I mean, the tour alone is something I know you take customers on. I mean, once you took that tour, you would never take your car anywhere else for service, right? How do we get more people in this industry to see what you see? How do we get that shift to take place?
Well, the industry is, the glamour is in selling the vehicle, and that's where our dealer comes from, and they want to sell, they want to push it out there, and the rest of it is just byproducts to keep that going. But if we look at it from the customer's perspective, it's easy to see it from that side. But we don't typically look at it from that side. But let's explain that a little bit. The buying experience. It takes maybe days, it might take a week, hours, whatever it may be, once you narrow it down and figure out what you want. But the ownership experience lasts years.
Yeah.
And the ownership experience goes through the service department.
Right.
And yes, we told the audience that you're a customer of mine, you picked up an F-150 from us, and I appreciate that. That's one transaction.
Right.
But ultimately, over the time that you own that vehicle, you're going to go back and visit a store multiple times.
Right.
And that's what we got to focus on, because when those visits go correctly, I don't have to worry about what your next vehicle is.
Right.
I've owned you as a customer for life.
Right.
And so that's our focus, is I want to own you for customer for life. I don't want to always conquest that next new customer. I want to own you for life.
I think that's why you and I think get along, right? Because we think so much alike. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, sales sell service, right? But service sells sales, right? You sell the car to service the car, but in the end, it's that, you know, you've got 2 weeks, like you said, to make the first impression. Okay, you've got 5, 6, 7 years years to make the lasting impression, right? And what you do over the period of that servicing of the vehicle is likely going to determine whether or not the customer buys another car from you. And this is why we really got in the business of bourbon. I mean, and you know this, you have had many conversations over a good bourbon on this. It isn't about, for me, selling tires. It's really about selling cars, because we've learned that there's you can connect the dots from defection for tires to defection from service to not buying another car. And it's a pretty straight line.
Yeah, let's break that down a bit. When a customer goes somewhere else to buy tires, when they go somewhere other than the dealer to buy tires, batteries, or brakes, well, let's focus on tires, because we can see that. That's visual. You can see that they're worn out. You can't tell when the battery's going bad. You can't necessarily see the brakes. 85% of the time, they never come back to that service department again for service with that brake. And if someone tells me that if I let somebody go do this, and I'm only getting 15 out of 100 of them back, I'm going to do something to prevent from losing that transaction. And so it's all about process. We have to get rid of the mindset that we don't make money. We don't make money changing oil.
Right.
But we all do it.
We all do it.
Exactly. So you have to embrace those elements, because there is elements that you got to push through to retain that customer.
If you think about it from a marketing perspective, I mean, the money that dealers spend on marketing is to attract new customers, when all you really need to do is sell them some things that they need. And albeit, you may not, you may not make a lot of money. I mean, I had, I had another buddy of mine, Todd Height, so I think you might know, who's the head of the fixed ops for Greenway, was in this chair about an hour ago, and he said, look, buddy, I'd give them away if I had to. Thankfully, we don't have to, but it's not about making the money, right? He said it's about making sure that they don't go elsewhere, because when they do go elsewhere, they get their oil changes done there, they get their brake work done there, and then they don't come back. And we've talked about this, I've been talking about this my whole career, anecdotally, but there's some good solid data now that dealers can look at to prove the fact that you can connect those dots. And for me, it's great to see guys that are actually embracing it, like you and Todd and others, that really get that side of the business, because it is really about that retention piece. It's what the service department is there for. It's there to foster that next vehicle set.
Well, a lot of what we try to do now, especially in service, is because we sell time, has become more efficient. And with a process to do a good vehicle inspection, that process allows consistency.
Right.
But when we can add technology on top of that to create that efficiency, then we all win. And that's where your product comes in. It adds those elements to where we can be efficient and do a proper inspection.
Right.
Equally every time.
Shifting gears a little bit, so when I took the tour with you, one of the things that stuck with me, and it will stick with me forever, was the signs that you have hanging in the bays for each technician that talks a little bit about who they are, their history, how many years they've been with the company. And I've been asking everybody that's, service side of the business, that sat in that chair, about the quote-unquote looming technician shortage that we've got. And I'm quite sure you've got an opinion on that, so tell us what it is. Is something you're worried about?
I am not worried about technicians.
I didn't think so.
Yes. We've heard wrong, but we're humans. We like recognition.
Yeah.
And to just put, a lot of times we put these people out in the shop, and they're in the dirtiest environment or whatever, and we expect them to produce the best for us. Let's give them the best environment, give them the recognition they deserve, because it isn't just about working on a car. They almost have to be an electrical engineer to work on base cars.
For sure.
So they're highly skilled people. I want to take care of them. I want them to be proud of where they work. And I want to tell everybody about them. I want to show them the rooftops. That's what they love. They love the recognition that they get from it. And you know how much it costs? Very little to nothing.
Very little.
And it just compounds itself. So I don't have to look for people. I have to tell the best people to come see us.
You know, there's been three or four guys that have been in the chair that I know have well-run organizations. And I know I asked the same question, are you worried about the technician shortage? Which every dealer that I talk to seems to be, but these people that I'm talking to will say, I asked the question, are you worried about technician shortage? And they say no. And the reason that they're not, I think it's the same, it's about retention. If you keep the ones that you got and you cultivate the ones that up through your organization, you give them an opportunity to grow within the organization, but more importantly, you keep them, right? And as I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking, the people that are worried about the technician shortage are the ones that have a retention problem with their technicians, right? If you don't have a retention problem with the technicians, you probably aren't worried about it, such as yourself. So it was, I never, I, That was, you know, that your dealership is amazing, obviously. If anybody ever wants to go see an amazing facility, get in touch with Ed and go take a look at it, because have lunch in the restaurant, because that's an experience alone. But those plaques in the shop were, and they weren't plaques, but they were hanging from the rafters. They were huge. Stuck with me. And that's, and, you know, we're human, like you said. It is all about recognition.
Absolutely.
Recognition.
Take pride.
So, yeah, exactly.
And we have a huge opportunity, speaking of the technician shortage, we have a huge opportunity with this EV transition, whether we like it or not. It is what it is. We're going to go through an evolution there. And these vehicles are computers with a body and a battery in it.
Right.
And so now we're not chasing that typical, what you would think is a grease monkey, to bring into this industry and teach them all the electrical stuff. We're chasing that techie guy, that gamer.
Engineer.
Because that's what they're going to work on these cars with, is computers. And then the components that we do replace is only a modular piece. They just replace something and something goes wrong. And then the filters and the tires and whatever else. Wiper blades, that's what an EV is going to be. So it's a whole different thing.
Exactly. And, you know, Tully, our friend Tully Williams was here yesterday. And he was telling me about a couple of his technicians that he's got that last year made over $300,000. That's the other thing that I think we need to educate these young people on. How many jobs can you get a couple of years out of college and make $200,000-$300,000? There's none that I know.
I have a graph that I use when I go to technical schools or high schools that shows the levels that you go through when you go to a four-year college. And there's nothing wrong with going to a four-year college. But you got student loans when you come out of that. And then I show that same graph with what it takes to become a technician and get started in the business of the tools that you buy.
Right.
And it's like a horsepower curve. It spikes up so much faster for that technical skill position.
Right.
And at some point it does cross.
Right.
But ultimately you plan better ahead and you get to play a lot sooner in life. And you don't have the debt to go with. It fits the right time. It fits for certain people. But you don't have to have a four-year degree.
I got to tell you, I'm in the technical business, as you know, and I'm not sure that line crosses. I'm not sure it does. I mean,
in some cases it does. The ones that have
sure
corner offices and
yeah,
whatever else.
Well, exactly. Yeah. But there's not too many of those jobs out there.
Exactly.
Right? There's lots of opportunities for
technicians.
Somebody's
got to build that office.
Right, exactly. And those opportunities are few and far between. All right, a couple more questions here before we wrap up. How long have you been in business?
Man, I'm coming up on 31 years this year.
Man, I'm 30.
Yeah.
We're both showing our age a little bit there, aren't we? You got an opportunity to go back 30 years and sit down with Ed on his first job in this industry. What do you tell him?
I was probably 10 years deep into this career before I really started becoming a sponge and learning everything. And if I could have started that 10 years earlier, there's no telling where I'd be today. And I'm very proud of where I'm at today. But anybody that's getting in this business or that's currently in it, be a sponge. Learn everything about it. And don't try to find a reason why you can't do something. Or find a way that you can do something. And when you do that, you'll overcome obstacles.
Fantastic.
There is no limit. When you say the sky's limit, there is no limit.
Fantastic.
Keep pushing.
All right, I've been ending every interview the same way. I was a huge James Lipton fan from Inside the Actors Studio. I don't know if you ever watched that show, but he passed away recently, and he used to end every one of his interviews with five questions. One of them was your favorite swear word. I'm not going to ask you that. We're a PG-13 show here, but I got five rapid-fire questions here just to kind of let everybody get to know who the real Ed Roberts is. So think back to before you started in this business, before you had cars to choose from. What was your first car?
76 Granada. 76 Ford Granada.
Wow.
302.
Well, that is a departure. I mean, I've had 302 Mustangs, I've had SS Chevelles, I've had a lot of, but I'm not sure that Granada really would classify as a cool car back in the day, but
exactly.
It was transportation.
It was my first set of wheels, and I'm proud to have it.
And I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So what are you driving now?
Limited F-150,
same as me, brother.
Yes.
Great vehicle.
Yes.
All right. I think I might know the answer to this one too, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So if you could pick any other career other than the one that you're doing, and I know you probably love what you're doing, but if you had to pick one, what would it be?
Something that allows me to develop people. I love to bring out the best in people that I didn't even know they had.
Training, teaching, something like that. Yeah, I can see that. Who do you admire most in this industry? You got one person that was a big mentor for you?
Well, I'll answer that with two people.
Okay.
I'll answer that with Charlie Waters as being the person that gave me the opportunity in this job.
Okay.
Because I came from very humble beginnings and I was told no originally, and then he gave me a chance.
Which, by the way, let me interrupt you, but that's a great story. If you ever get a chance, like, it's out there on the internet. Ed's told the story a bunch of times. If you don't know his humble beginnings, you need to understand it, because it's truly inspiring.
Absolutely. So I give him all the credit. We are good friends today, and we break bread quite a bit. But secondly, and this may be challenged by some, but I like to challenge status quo.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nobody better in this industry to challenge the status quo other than Elon Musk.
Yeah. I am actually shocked. You're the first person that's said that, and I'm shocked that I haven't had someone else say it, because you've got to admire what he's doing in this industry that has been pretty much the same for 100 years, right? And if you're a student of change and technology and anything that's cool, you got to admire what he's done, and he certainly is a super, super smart guy. So.
Absolutely. Everything he does, he challenges status quo.
Absolutely.
It doesn't have to be this way. It could be both.
And lastly, like what's the thing you like most about this industry?
The people side of it.
I think I'm 15 for 15 now on these interviews, so everybody I've asked is the same thing. And it really is true, right? I mean, this, at the end of the day, it's a people business, right?
It is.
And you and I haven't known each other that long, but I consider you one of my best friends. And what I love most about when I come to this show, actually, is I see people around here that I've known for 30 years. I see them once a year at this show, and it's like we're brothers and sisters. I mean, this whole community, this industry, it is a family. It's been a pleasure to meet you, my friend, get to know you over the last couple of years. I'm honored that you're a customer, and I'm even more honored that I'm a customer of yours.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Fix Ops Chops with Dave Boyle. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to our podcast and be sure to visit our website at www.traction.com. That's Traction with an X, to join the conversation and discover our Fix Ops bonus content.